Things are heating up in the Middle East. Some are saying this could lead to World War III. Others are saying it's fulfillment of ancient prophecy. We'll do our best to sort it out today, right here.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Boy, I'll tell you, the situation in Syria, the Middle East, heating up in a very intense way with major implications for Israel, for the surrounding nations, for America, for Russia, for the world. But I don't think this is it. This is about to be the final end time conflict. And I'm sure that God himself is not worried, although he's pained and grieved over the loss of life taking place. Michael Brown, welcome to Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, right here on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Now, some of you may feel that you have really thought through the larger issues involved with the conflict in Syria, now with the alleged use of chemical weapons by the government of Syria against civilians, men, women, and children, American warships approaching the region with the threat of short-term military action, Russia and China saying, stay out of it. How does it affect Israel? We're about to hear from Israel. One of my dear friends and colleagues will be calling in from Israel in just a few minutes. Some of you may feel that you've thought this through and that you have clear, decisive opinions. Others, I'm not sure. Here's what I'm thinking. But you get to weigh in either way. Maybe you are in the military. Maybe you are an academic involved in the Middle East. Maybe you're just a concerned Christian praying. Same number for everyone to call, 866-348-7884. Back in June, I wrote an article which was called Why the U.S. Should Stay Out of Syria. And I argued then that any thing we should do should be humanitarian and not military, that this is a conflict between two rival Muslim groups, one in government power, one fashioned called the rebels, basically a Shia Sunni conflict, one side backed by Iran, the other side backed by Saudi Arabia, and it goes on and on. It escalates from there. I did not see a side that we could take. My big questions would be, what about the Christians in the country? What's going to happen to them? And then also, what about Israel? How will this affect Israel? Because I don't see a good guy and a bad guy in the conflict. I see a lot of bad, a lot of evil, and a lot of people caught in the middle. So I posted these two questions on Facebook, and I want to put them out for you, my dear listening audience, on this Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. Question number one, should America get involved militarily in Syria? This is my first question for you. Should America get involved militarily in Syria? Second question, should the use of chemical weapons by either side influence our decision? In other words, is it crossing the line to use chemical weapons? 866-348-7884. I'm just looking at the comments that have been pouring in at Facebook. One from one of our ministry school grads who's in Israel, together with her husband, also a ministry school grad. She's an Israeli citizen. And she said, Assad didn't learn from Rwanda. As long as you murder them with machetes and explosives, you'll get away with it. I think that was a typo for Rwanda. You're just not allowed to murder using gas. She also said, we don't want America to give Syria and Iran an excuse to bomb us in Israel. Thanks, though. And then nature abhors a vacuum. There are no good leaders to replace the bad ones learned from Egypt. What do we make of this? And does it tie in with biblical prophecy? We'll take it up today, right here.
Change the world. Yeah.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on Thoroughly Jewish Thursday here in The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. What's your take? Do you think that the government of Syria, if in fact is they're guilty of using chemical weapons, the government of Syria has then crossed a line and needs to be disciplined, needs to be rebuked in some way? There needs to be some strategic military attack to send a message. Should we get involved? Should we completely stay out of the war in Syria? How's that going to affect Israel? How's that going to affect America long term? Do we have any business going into Syria right now? What if Russia is arming the government? So should we take the other side? If we take the other side, are we siding with Al-Qaeda, which is helping the anti-government forces? How is it going to affect the Christian population, one of the oldest in the world, living there in Syria? Important questions to ask. And does it tie in with Isaiah 17? I've been asked that question a lot as well recently. I want to share a lot of the comments that are coming in at Facebook. I want to give you some opinions from different folks involved in the Middle East and involved in the larger issues. We'll look at the scriptures together. 866-348-7884. One of our grads ministering in Israel, he's in the north, he's in Haifa, so that puts him closer to Syria. He sent a picture as they were getting their safe room. Every house, apartment buildings have bomb shelters. Every house has to have a safe room. You can go in there and it's protected as much as possible. So, for example, if there was chemical warfare, if there was some type of nerve gas or something like that that was being used, then you go into that room, which is safely sealed as much as possible. So he was making sure it was sealed properly. Everyone has to have their gas masks and things like that. Now, it doesn't mean that there's ongoing danger in Israel. There are these special times here and there. Just like, hey, walking the streets of America can be more dangerous. It's actually more dangerous. Walking the streets of the inner city of America, far more dangerous than living in Israel, to give you a perspective. But at times like this, this is very near. I mean, this is like you live in Buffalo, New York, and there's something going on immediately over the border in Canada. It's a lot closer to you than someone, say, living in Florida. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's just listen to a couple of comments from President Obama, and then we will go to the phones live in Israel. He is on CNN, and he's talking with Chris Cuomo about decisions that need to be made. This goes back to last Friday.
What we've seen indicates that this is clearly a big event of grave concern. The notion that the U.S. can somehow solve what is a sectarian, complex problem inside of Syria sometimes is overstated.
All right. Absolutely true. I'm completely with him on that we're going to solve the problem in Syria. Yet to think we're going to solve that problem is completely overstated. This is what he continues to say.
There is no doubt that when you start seeing chemical weapons used on a large scale, and again, we're still gathering information about this particular event, but it is very troublesome.
There's strong proof they used them already, though, in the past.
Then that starts getting to some core national interests that the United States has, both in terms of us making sure that weapons of mass destruction are not proliferating, as well as needing to protect our allies, our bases in the region.
All right, so that raises another question. Do you act differently when there are weapons of mass destruction involved? And if we let Syria, the Syrian government, use chemical warfare, then does that tell Iran, hey, we have no problem with you having a nuclear bomb? Or do we send a message to Iran by sending a message to Syria? These are questions, friends, that are being asked with great passion and concern today. Now, there are others that say it was the rebels who used the chemical warfare, and Middle East expert Aaron Klein claims that there's evidence that it was done by Turkey to make Syria look bad. Then I've read intel that says no, both Israel and America know that it was the government. Others are disputing that. One more clip from President Obama. He's being interviewed on the PBS NewsHour, and this was just from yesterday.
We have looked at all the evidence, and we do not believe the opposition possessed nuclear weapons of that or chemical weapons of that sort. We do not believe that, given the delivery systems using rockets, that the opposition could have carried out these attacks. We have concluded that the Syrian government, in fact, carried these out. And if that's so, then there need to be international consequences.
All right. I'm looking at a picture right now of my longtime friend and colleague, Ron Kanter. In fact, Ron, even though you're in Israel, you are staring at me through your gas mask. And on your Facebook page from about an hour ago, you made this comment. This is the first time of in 10 years of living in Israel that I felt the need to unpack my gas mask to learn how to use it. I think I've got it down, but can't figure out how to get the cappuccino feature to work that I brought from Nespresso. Ron, you want to make sure that you have the thing that keeps the gas out. That's the key thing with having the gas mask on. You actually look similar to me now. That no, the gas mask almost looks similar to my nose normally. But Ron, in all seriousness, I'm glad that you can be smiling and joking and talking about the safety, the relative safety of living there. But what's it feel like, Ron, on the ground in Israel? You're a married man with kids. You've got many family friends there. What's it feel like?
Well, I'm not just a married man with kids. I've also, my youngest daughter is serving in really along the Syrian border, and she's got a significant responsibility there. So we do joke in Israel. It's really one of the coping mechanisms when you're surrounded by really savages and dictators and Muslim radicals that all they do all along is make noise that they want to kill you. It there comes a point where it's funny. You just laugh and it's ridiculous, but it is also serious. And today that was the talk in Israel. Do you have a gas mask? And to be honest with you, my wife and I, we just celebrated 25 years together and we were on vacation. And so the first thing I did when I got home is I unpacked my gas mask that I've looked at that box, never felt the need to even play with it as a joke, but I got it on, and hopefully, I to be honest with you, after wearing it for about a minute, I decided that I might just take the gas. I don't know. It's really not comfortable wearing a gas mask. That's what I learned.
Got it. Yeah, well, it is more comfortable than the consequences, though. So, Ron, first thing, we've got a major tour taking folks over to Israel next May. And sometimes people think, oh, no, Israel, it's so dangerous to be in Israel. The threat from the surrounding nations is very real. But as someone who was raised in Richmond, Virginia, now lives in Israel, do you feel less safe living in Israel than you felt living in Richmond, Virginia?
You know, I could go to the airport right now and buy a ticket home. And by home, I mean the United States. Really, Israel's my home. I've been here for over 10 years now. But I'm not. I feel really safe here. It's a normal day. It's a normal night. There have been some panicking in Israel because there's a shortage in gas masks. And in a couple different distribution centers, there were thousands of people lined up in the heat today. And so if you were in that crowd, if you were there, if you were in 100-degree heat, not quite 100-degree, but really hot, for you, it was a really rough day. But for the rest of us, in fact, as I was, you know, staying at this hotel, just sitting by the pool, it was just ironic that I'm 130 miles from Syria. I'm even closer to the border with the Sinai Desert, and I feel completely safe. I trust God. I think we have a great army. And I think that most of the Arab dictators and radical Islamic fundamentalists make a lot more noise than actually are willing to back up that noise, especially when it comes to Israel, because we have, fortunately, so much more firepower, and I'm not even talking about nuclear weapons, conventional weapons. Damascus could be leveled in an hour. So unless Assad, Bashar Assad, is seeing this as a suicide mission on his part, I don't think he's going to attack Israel, not with chemical weapons.
All right, Ron, I do want to ask you one more question, and if you can stay on just a couple more minutes, but tell our listeners how they can connect with you. You're putting out every week great podcasts and e-letters and great information straight from the heart of Israel. How can folks connect with you?
Easiest way is roncantor.com. Takes you to our ministry, messiahsmandate.org. They can hear our podcast, download it, read the blog. Got a lot of good materials, and it is coming right from the heart of Tel Aviv.
All right, friends, that's roncantor.com, C-A-N-T-O-R, roncantor.com. Connect with my friend and colleague there. We come back. I just want to ask Ron how we should act, what America should do based on Israel's perspective, and then I'll take your calls. We'll talk this through.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to our Thoroughly Jewish Thursday broadcast. As we focus on Syria, we're going to look at Isaiah 17 in a little while. Some people say, well, is there future prophecy that the Bible's talked about these very things happening in Syria? Others saying, what are you talking about? This was fulfilled 2,700 years ago. We'll talk about that, 866-348-7884. I'm on the phone live in Israel with I'm not in Israel, but my friend and colleague Rod Cantor is there in Israel. To connect with him, go to roncantor.com. That's C-A-N-T-O-R, roncantor.com. Ron, just a couple of quick questions for you.
Sure.
Number one, is it any surprise if, in fact, Bashar Assad has used chemical weapons against his own people? If that's the case, is that any surprise to the Israelis that the leader of Syria would do that?
I'm not an expert. As you know, I'm a speaker, preacher, writer. I have opinions, but I don't know what goes on in the intelligence areas of the Israeli government. But I'm going to guess no. I mean, his dad gassed 20,000 Syrians back in the 80s.
Yep.
This is in his family history. And typically when you're a dictator over an oppressed people, I just think you're demon-possessed. That might sound crazy to some people, but I don't think he's all there. I think you have to be a little bit nuts to be able to commit mass murder. So in that sense, I don't think we'd be surprised if any of our neighbors did that to their own people. If Iran did it to their own people, if they felt that their security was at risk, their leadership was in risk, no, I don't think it's that much of a shock. It's
right.
Shocking to see, I'll say that.
Yeah, I mean, it's horrific. I don't think anyone is arguing with the fact that there have been hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of casualties as a result of chemical warfare in recent days. The question is, who's ultimately responsible for it? And I do understand you preface things by saying that you're not a scholar of Middle Eastern tyrants and methods of warfare. But yes, there is a very painful, ugly history where these things have been done before.
Right.
Ron, the other question is this. From the perspective of Israel, and I know you've got tons of different opinions in Israel, but if there's any kind of consensus, from the perspective of Israel, would the Israelis like America to get involved or to stay out?
Well, Israelis are torn. On the one hand, you want a guy like Bashar Assad out. You want him dead. He is a killer, a murderer. He's not a good guy. On the other hand, we're very concerned the fact that while we know that there is a pro-freedom, pro-democracy element in the Syrian resistance, and it was birthed in that, just like in Egypt and in Libya, Al-Qaeda assets and other Islamic radicals have poured into the open borders there from Iraq and other areas. And so the resistance, you don't know what you're going to get after them. And the last thing we need in the Middle East is another Islamic dictatorship. And to be honest with you, I've been a pretty vocal critic of President Obama when it comes to Israel. I don't think he's got an easy decision here. If
nope.
He just shoots a few missiles into Syria, what is that really going to do? If he demolishes Syria, that could start a Middle East war.
And
on
beyond.
The other hand, if he,
yeah.
Right. And if he does nothing, then he looks very weak in the eyes of Russia and as well as the entire Middle East. And there are many who believe that Iran basically is urging Syria to do these things, pushing them, manipulating them, because they want to see how much do we need to do to get this guy, President Obama, to react, because we need to know, because for our own wars that we want to start in the future. And I don't know if that's the case, but I don't think it's an easy decision to simply say bomb Syria, especially if they're going to turn around and start bombing us. Now, we can take care of ourselves. We have all kinds of anti-missile missiles, Iron Dome Patriot missiles, as well as a very well-trained army. But the idea of the possibility of chemical weapons coming down on Israel is certainly disheartening and difficult to really imagine as I sit here in my dining room right now. And at the same time, I have no doubt that we would respond in a way that they would not be able to send any more chemical weapons ever again.
Got it. Yeah, I mean, and that really lays out the difficulties, the challenges, and the need to be really praying for God's will, God's purposes. Anyone who weighs in with decisive, simple answers, I think, doesn't understand the nature of the conflict. But I want to make one other announcement on Ron's behalf. One of the best-selling Messianic Jewish books that is out right now was written by Ron. I wrote an endorsement for it. It's called Identity Theft. It's actually Identity Theft 1. It's part of an ongoing story told in novel form. It's a great read, and it's on sale right now on Amazon. The Kindle price has been reduced. It's 56% off. Ron just shot me a note telling me that, and I'm very happy to encourage you to go to Amazon.com and get his book, Identity Theft. If you haven't downloaded it, you'll want to do it. That's Identity Theft by Ron Cantor. Order it by way of Kindle, and you'll save a bundle. Ron, we're standing together with you and your family and friends there, praying for God's best for everyone in the region. Appreciate you calling in, man.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. Always great. And let me just say, Scott Volk last week, the interview he did with you, that was classic. I learned so much. I gained so much from that. I hope you get Scott in there again just to pick your brain. It was really, really good.
Awesome. We have actually, by popular demand, there are actually three people already who have asked Scott to come back. No, it was a popular show. And I enjoyed doing it also, and he asked great questions. So thanks so much, Ron.
Well,
give my love to Alana.
He did promise me a generous donation if I would mention that. So I've done that.
That's it. That's it. You got it, man.
All right.
God bless.
Bless you and Nancy and the whole gang there. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. All right. Ron Cantor from the front lines there in Israel. That's roncantor.com, C-A-N-T-O-R, roncantor.com. Ron and I connected. It's almost hard to believe now, but it was 30 years ago. He was a new Jewish believer. He was being heavily influenced by counter-missionaries, meeting with rabbis that were trying to talk him out of his faith. I was able to connect with him, share good responses, and we've been friends ever since. He came as a student to my school of ministry. His wife, Alana from Israel, got saved when I preached a message at a Messianic conference, I think back in 86. So we've been really connected with their family for a long time. Let me mention something I haven't mentioned through the week. But if you go to my website, if you go to askdrbrown.org, right on the homepage, you'll see the special resources. We every week put something else online just for our internet audience, just for those connecting online and visiting our website. So you'll see special resource offer. The slide comes up, and you can get 12 hours of teaching on how to be led by the Spirit. Really practical. Down to earth, how to be led by the Spirit. It's 12 hours of teaching, and it's just a $10 download, so it's half the normal CD price. So go to my website now, askdrbrown.org. Click on the special resource offer. You'll see the slide come up on the home page, and download those. And hey, we need to learn to follow the Spirit, be sensitive to His voice. The more critical the day in which we live, the closer we need to be to the Lord.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
What do we do with this prophecy? Isaiah 17:1, a prophecy against Damascus. See, Damascus will no longer be a city, but will become a heap of ruins. The cities of Aroer will be deserted and left to flocks, which will lie down with no one to make them afraid. The fortified city will disappear from Ephraim. So Ephraim, that was northern Israel, royal power from Damascus, that's Syria. When you read about Aram in the Bible, the Arameans, that's ancient Syria. Is this a prophecy about something future still to happen? I mean, Damascus is still there as a city, whereas the text says Damascus will no longer be a city, but will become a heap of ruins. Or is that something that happened when the Assyrians, not Syria, but the Assyrians, which would be modern-day Iraq, the ancient Assyrians decimated Syria 2,700-plus years ago? We'll come back to that. 866-34-TRUTH. I want to get to your calls and ask the simple question, should America get involved in Syria? Just want to get your perspective, your opinion. We will start with Anjali in Manassas, Virginia. Thanks so much for calling The Line of Fire. What's your viewpoint on this?
Thank you, Dr. Brown. All I have to say is that this war, this has to be thought out thoroughly by the administration, and we need to fall on our knees and ask the Lord for wisdom, because God will not be with this administration. I don't feel it's because of all of the wickedness that this administration has, the laws and things they have put in place that is anti-God, anti-Christ. And I believe if we went into a war with Syria, it'll be a judgment call on America. Israel, like your previous caller said, can take care of themselves, which I'll be in prayer mode for Israel and America and the Christians and innocent people in Syria. But this decision has to be thought about on our knees and not gone into haphazardly, especially with this administration and this president.
Anjali, I appreciate the comments and the larger perspective, which we do need to take into account. What was your view about us getting involved in Afghanistan after 9/11 and then also in Iraq to take out Saddam Hussein? What was your perspective back then about those wars?
That war, back then, I was all for going in and getting rid of the Taliban, fighting terrorism. Mm-hmm. I'm not anti-war. I believe that what George W. Bush did was in that administration was because they came here first. And when that happened in the World Trade Center, they took out thousands of people. That could not stand. And I can understand what's going on over in Syria. My heart goes out for those people. And I know that if we go into a war or send bombs over there without prayer and without God's wisdom and his power behind us, we will suffer in this nation because of it. And the Christians in that nation will suffer tremendously behind that kind of a decision. And yes, I was for what happened in Afghanistan. And when they took out Saddam Hussein, that was way in the works before Obama became to power. And I was all for that, too, because of the atrocities that he's done against humanity. And what's going on with the Assad administration, this dictator over there, those dictators in the Middle East, we, because of the decisions of this president and this administration, we better be very careful before we go off into any wars. Because when I read the Bible of what happened to King Saul and those kings in the Bible, when they went against God, God's hand was not with them in battle.
Got it. Hey, Anjali, I really appreciate you weighing in with clear thinking, especially in light of the past conflicts. Yeah, I do believe things were much clearer with Afghanistan, somewhat clearer with Iraq, and absolutely not clear with Syria. Thank you so much for the call. I want to play some more audio clips when we come back, and then we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 17.
Change the world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast on this Thoroughly Jewish Thursday as we focus in on Syria and the Middle East and how it affects Israel, how it affects America. You have American warships poised to bomb Syria with what would allegedly be just a short attack to send a message. You have Russia that's involved directly in the conflict on behalf of the Syrian government, saying stay out of it. China saying stay out of it. Questions about whether the president has any right to act without full congressional backing, and then looking to the UN for an international agreement, international support. That's not forthcoming. But much more importantly, the situation is tremendously muddled and muddy. And I wrote back in, I wrote an article back in June, why the U.S. should stay out of Syria. And I said it's one thing to provide humanitarian aid to the suffering Syrian people, although it's hardly an easy task to accomplish, as praiseworthy as it may be. But it's a grave mistake for America to attempt to get involved in the military conflict. There is hardly a lesser of two evils to side with there. 866-348-7884. Does this still stand? Does this still ring true today? Has it been changed by the use of chemical weapons? Do we know if the government of Assad has used them? Is it possible that the rebels have done it? Is it possible that an outside force has provoked this? Some have said Turkey has done it to try to make Syria look bad, to provoke an attack, and on and on. Our intel claims we're sure, President Obama says we're sure that it was the government. Others are disputing that. 866-348-7884. I want to go back to Israel with another couple, grads of ours who are in the north. They're in Haifa, which gets them very close to Syria. But first, let me just play two more clips for you. This is Ed Hussein from the Council of Foreign Relations on MSNBC.
Why would Assad want to use chemical weapons in the northeastern suburb of Damascus, Damascus that's under his control, to kill only, forgive me for being so cold, about 1,000 people, whereas he's killed 5,000 people every month for the last 16 months without using chemical weapons? I think the bottom line is that we still don't know who committed this atrocity, and unless we have the full facts, I think we're going to be doing a repeat of Iraq, blowing threats out of all proportion and talking about weapons of mass destruction and not knowing where the chemical facility are, and then putting U.S. blood and treasure at risk once again.
All right, so here's the larger question about chemical weapons. If he's been killing, Assad has been killing allegedly 5,000 people every month for the last 16 months without chemical weapons, why do we react so strongly to killing 1,000 or 1,300 in a day with chemical weapons? In other words, how much has this really escalated the ongoing atrocities? And then Aaron Klein, he is the senior staff reporter for WorldNet Daily and the Jerusalem bureau chief. Listen to his perspective on this.
He went on CNN and he talked about that if the United States goes in, I'm quoting him here, and attacks another country without a UN mandate and without clear evidence that can be presented, then there are questions in terms of whether international law supports it. Well, wait a minute, UN mandate? What about a United States mandate? What about Congress? That is responsibility to protect of Samantha Power. That's what it is. It's bypassing Congress. It's bypassing even, forget about Congress, forget about the United States. It bypasses the concept of sovereignty. It's not, there is no sovereignty. According to the responsibility to protect that Obama would be using in Syria, well, not just Syria. I'm talking here also about the usurpation of power, the abuse of executive authority. This is concerning to me.
All right. This is what Aaron Klein is saying, weighing in with another perspective from Israel, concerns about the president taking action. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me go back to Israel now. Frank and Carol, couple of our grads, actually a little bit older than me. So they've gone over to Israel to serve the people of Israel, to serve hurting young people, handicapped, a lot of humanitarian work they're involved with. And they're not just going over there as wild-eyed, naive young people. They're seasoned veterans in God's service, living now in Haifa. Hey, Frank, how are things from your perspective? How close are you, Frank, to the border of Syria?
90 miles to Damascus.
90 miles to Damascus. And you sent out a picture the other day of you getting your safe room in order, making sure it was properly sealed. Is there a lot of fear in the air, or is this just another one of these, all right, let's just be cautious because you never know what's going to happen?
Over in Israel, this is a way of life for them. They have gone through this so many times. It's just, you know, another day, another walk in the park. But they said that if anything's going to happen, it's probably going to happen tonight or tomorrow night.
All right. And what's the sympathy in Israel from your perspective? I just talked to Ron Cantor a few minutes ago. But what's your perspective on how Israel feels? Do they want America to get involved, or do they want America to stay out?
We want America to stay out. Well, I was just reading your article, and it is so true. What you were saying before about Assad was going good. He had no reason to use weapons of mass destruction. There is so many different reports over here that the rebels did it. And then we heard a report today that Iran was testing weapons of mass destruction in Syria. So we don't know who's doing it, but we know that the United States should stay out of this. It's not their war. But what I see as a bigger picture is it's a double smokescreen. It's stopping. Nobody's looking at Iran building their nukes. And everybody's forgotten about them. And it's also a double smoke screen for nobody's looking at what Mr. Obama has done in the past. All it's focused on right now is Mr. Obama said, if you do this, I'm going to have to take drastic measures. It's nothing but saving face right now.
Right. Okay. I appreciate that perspective, Frank. And living there in Israel, you are involved in a ministry that is multi-ethnic and multiracial. In the congregation there, there are Israeli Jews, Israeli Arabs worshiping side by side. You have Ethiopian Jews that have come over worshiping side by side. The drug rehab ministry, the street ministry that you do, it's helping people from all backgrounds. How do you feel personally? You side with Israel deeply. You love Israel. How do you feel about your Arab neighbors and Druze neighbors and these people from other ethnicities and backgrounds? Are they welcome there, or would you rather they kind of got out and had their own place?
No, everybody is welcome there. According to the word, the middle wall of partition has been broken down. There is no Jew or Greek right now. They are all one in the Messiah.
Hi, Dr. Brown.
Hey, Carol.
Hi. Also, much of our ministry is with the Arabs. We have a lot of Arab friends. Matter of fact, right now we live in an Arab Druze community, and they're totally welcome here, and they feel totally at home here. And many of them side totally with Israel, that with the Jews, that this is Jewish homeland, but it's also theirs. And I think they're totally welcome.
So how do you feel when you hear, well, the Palestinians in the West Bank and Gaza, it's apartheid, or Israel's attempting ethnic cleansing, Israel's an apartheid state. Since you yourselves are living in an Arab Druze community in the midst of Israel, how do you feel when you hear those things, Carol?
Well, it's not true, because any Arab will tell you, not the Palestinians, not in the West Bank and Gaza, but all Palestinians just about in Israel, Arabs in our area will tell you that they have more rights here than they would have if they were in Gaza or the West Bank. They feel a part of it. They have every right. that every Jew has here.
We even have them in the Knesset. There's Arabs and Palestinians in the Knesset. They have an equal say in the government.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. And again, I wasn't planning on bringing that up, but because of where you live, because of the situation you're in, I mean, you're there on the front lines. You see the fact that the Arabs, they identify as Palestinians elsewhere in say, West Bank or Gaza, but they're living, what, 1.5 million strong in Israel with full rights to vote, be involved in the government, and recognizing they have more freedom there. I just point that out in the midst of all the propaganda that goes around about Israel being an apartheid state or guilty of ethnic cleansing. Frank and Carol, we appreciate your service for the Lord and for Israel. God be with you in a substantial way.
Fire we want, for fire we
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on this Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, 866-34-TRUTH. Should the U.S. stay out of Syria right now? We've just gotten perspectives from some of our grads who are serving in Israel, grads from decades ago, grads from recent years, friends, colleagues that are over there. The work that we do by God's grace spans beyond a radio broadcast, spans beyond the coast of America. I want to take a look at Isaiah 17, and we'll take some more calls. We've got more audio clips for the second hour as well. You can catch up with the entire broadcast on my website, askdrbrown.org. Just click on latest audio to do that later today. By the way, just on another note, an entirely other note, the video that we posted interviewing two young ladies who identify as Christians and there to support the Gay Pride event, it's been viewed about 5,000 times since we posted it just 3 days ago with some interesting dialogue and comments. So you want to go to AskDrBrown.org and click on the latest video. Be sure to do that. 866-34-TRUTH. In Isaiah 17, it says this, a prophecy against Damascus. Now, Damascus is the great ancient city of Syria. A prophecy against Damascus. See, Damascus will no longer be a city, but will become a heap of ruins. The cities of Aroer will be deserted and left to flocks, which will lie down with no one to make them afraid. The fortified city will disappear from Ephraim and royal power from Damascus. Then it goes on with a word of judgment. You say, wow, so that's a prophecy about what's happening now. No, it's not. There may be some distant future fulfillment of a prophecy that was spoken 2,700 years ago by Isaiah, but it really applied to something that was happening in his day. That's what's important to remember. When it mentions Ephraim, that's northern Israel, the northern kingdom of Israel. Remember, there had been a split in the days of Solomon's son, Rehoboam. There was a split, southern kingdom of Judah, northern kingdom of Israel. There was often war between the two of them. When you go to Isaiah 7, you'll see that Aram, which is Syria, was joining together with Ephraim, which is northern Israel, in a war against the godless king Ahaz. And that's the one that Isaiah confronts and speaks to in Isaiah, the 7th chapter. But he does tell him that judgment will come on Syria, Aram, and on Ephraim, northern Israel. As I just read this note from the IVP Bible Background Commentary on the Old Testament, it notes this to Isaiah 17:1, the Syro-Ephraimitic War, referenced in Isaiah 7:1, which raged during the middle 730s, ended with the Assyrian king Tiglath-Pileser III invading Syria and Israel and devastating both of these rebellious states. So they were supposed to be paying tribute to Syria. They go to war against Judah, and Assyria comes and crushes them. The Syrian kingdom, ruled from Damascus by Ritzin, had been Israel's principal political and economic rival. He had meddled in Israel and Judah's internal affairs and had encroached on their territories for over a decade. It seems apparent, however, that Racine overstepped his bounds in leading an anti-Assyrian coalition. Assyria did not welcome a rival, Greater Syria, and the destruction of Damascus in 732, as recorded in the Assyrian annals, was massive, leaving hundreds of sites looking, quote, like hills over which the flood had swept. This widespread destruction also included both the reduction of much of the city of Damascus to rubble, as well as the redistribution of its territories in Syria, as well as in Transjordan and the Galilee. Verse 3, which says the fortified city will disappear from Ephraim and royal power from Damascus. Listen to what the commentary says here. Tiglath-Pileser III's annals. So again, this is the king of Assyria, to be distinguished from Syria. Ancient Assyria is now where modern Iraq is. Ancient Aram is now modern Syria. So the king of Syria's annals describe how he completely destroyed the 16 districts of Damascus and most of the cities of Aram. Excuse me, the 16 districts and most of the cities of Aram. So most of the cities and districts of Syria in 732 deported portions of the population and gave charge of most of the cities and territories of Syria to other more loyal vassals. The list includes 591 towns destroyed. Damascus was badly damaged, but survived the experience to become the capital of a newly constituted Assyrian province, and so on. And then there were further attacks that came by Assyria against Damascus. So here's the question. Here's the question. If it says Damascus will no longer be a city, but will become a heap of ruins, does it mean that there will be an ultimate destruction of Damascus in the future? It's possible. But prophetic language is such that you could well say that this was fulfilled with the destruction of Damascus, with terrible destruction through ancient Aram, ancient Syria, by the Assyrians. And since Isaiah prophesied about it, along with prophesying about destruction of northern Israel. Northern Israel was destroyed in 721, and just 10 years before this, it would have been the destruction of Syria. That will tell you that's what the prophecy was speaking of. So while there might possibly be some future application of Isaiah 17, it clearly speaks of something that took place over 2,700 years ago. But when you look at Isaiah 19, there's definitely a future application there. Absolutely, because it speaks of Egypt and Assyria, which is now Iraq, turning to the Lord along with Israel, a great harvest there in those two countries. All right, a whole lot more to talk about in the second hour today. Again, you can get both hours on my website. Everything is archived shortly after the show, within a couple hours of the show. You can go right to the website, askdrbrown.org, and download the entire 2 hours. You can subscribe by podcast so you don't miss a minute. And I want to encourage you to stand with us in the work that we're doing. By God's grace, we're touching a lot of lives. By God's grace, many people are being impacted. Jewish people are coming to faith. The church is getting equipped to stand with Israel and win Jewish people. We're seeing believers stand up for righteousness. We're hearing of people who are lost in sin coming back to God and now running their race. We are training laborers and sending them out into some of the most difficult parts of the world. Even as I speak, we have teams in Turkey. We have teams in northern Iraq of our grads living there, as well as in Israel, as well as other countries I can't even mention because they're too sensitive. Would you stand with us? Why not become a torchbearer? Why not become a monthly supporter? Standing with us with at least $25 or more per month, we'll send you a special gift book as you join up, and then every month you'll get a CD with our newest message. You can get a free download, a newest message from us exclusively for Torchbearers. You get special offers just for you, 15% discount on all of our online purchases, and then you also get free subscription to any of our online classes. So become a Torchbearer today. Go to my website, askdrbrown.org, click donate, or call 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, it's best for us to keep our hands off Syria until we have further clarity or an international agreement. Things are heating up in the Middle East. Some are saying this could lead to World War III. Others are saying it's fulfillment of ancient prophecy. We'll do our best to sort it out today, right here.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
A couple hours ago, I posted two questions on Facebook. Question number one asked this: should America get involved militarily in Syria? Question number two: should the use of chemical weapons by either side influence our decision? In other words, is it crossing the line to use chemical weapons? We've talked to some of our friends and colleagues in Israel, live from Israel, the last hour. We've played some clips with different perspective from President Obama, from other Middle East experts on other sides. It is a convoluted, difficult situation. We're going to talk about it some more, as well as some larger issues right here on Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. And I want to get your take as well. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. As to the question, does the Bible prophesy this? Does Isaiah 17 speak of what's happening in Syria today? My answer would be no. That referred primarily or exclusively to things that happened over 2,700 years ago when Assyria, which is modern-day Iraq, but Assyria, which was the great empire of the Middle East at that time, attacked and decimated Aram, which is called Syria today, and attacked and decimated Damascus. So the text clearly seems to be pointing to things that took place over 2,700 years ago. Could there be any future application of those texts, those ancient prophetic texts? Perhaps, but obviously not a primary application of any kind. So the big questions are, if America gets involved in Syria, what does it mean for the nation of Syria? That's number one. Number two, what does it mean for Israel? Number three, what does it mean for the Christian population in Syria, as the Christians tend to be scapegoated and the ones that suffer most with these conflicts? While many of you listening would have supported our war in Iraq and support it to this day, and of course we honor all the troops that have served sacrificially and all the families that have been affected by the sacrifice of these troops, many would say that we went in there without a clearly conceived plan, because of which there's been great suffering for the Christian population of Iraq. So the same thing now in Syria. If we get involved one way or the other, how will that affect the people of Syria as a whole, the people of Israel, neighbors to the immediate south, the Christians within Syria? And then are there larger world implications when Russia and China say, stay out? Does this mean if we get involved that there'll actually be a larger conflict? And then what about Iran, one of the faithful allies of the government of Syria, and perhaps using Syria in certain ways as a puppet for its own terrorism? Then what? You know, just even with the chemical gas issue, I've read statements that American intel has shown plainly that this was the work of the Syrian government. I read that there's Israeli intel that confirms that. Then I read another report from someone involved in Israeli intelligence, frontline reporting, who said, no, this was Turkey who was involved. Turkey launched the attack to make Syria look bad and to draw an attack against Syria because of rivalries there. And then just heard speculation that it was Iran that was doing chemical weapons testing at the expense of the people of Syria. It's a terribly muddled situation, friends, and it's one for which we need to pray more than anything. We'll be back with a lot more, and I want to get your perspective, 866-34-TRUTH, on this Thoroughly Jewish Thursday.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
According to a report on Time.com, from today, the Arab League shies away from fully backing Syrian intervention. The Arab League Secretary General Nabil Al-Arabi spoke with CNN about a potential Western-based airstrike on Syria, despite condemning the Syrian regime for its reported use of chemical weapons on its own civilians. Al-Arabi warned that U.S.-led strikes could intensify anti-American feeling in the region. Really, again, this is one of these situations where you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. This is one of these situations where it's tremendously precarious whatever steps are taken. 866-348-7884. So my two simple questions for you. Number one, your take. Should we get involved in Syria on a military basis, short-term, long-term? Should we get involved? Number two, should the use of chemical weapons by either side influence our decision? Nancy and I were talking about this issue of chemical weapons the other day. Now, obviously you don't know Nancy, most all of you, except through me, unless you're a personal friend of our family. But she is a tremendously compassionate person, much more so than me. She is impacted by human suffering much more deeply than I am. I can read in the news about some atrocity, people killed, some natural disaster, and I'm pained by it. I'm grieved by it. But I'm not affected by it overall in terms of I may pray, I may think about it, I may write about it, talk about it, but then I'm pretty much living my life the same as I was the day before. Unless it's with people I know or something just so completely overwhelming. So I hear about a report, it grieves me. But then, to be honest, I'll go on living normally. Whereas Nancy tends to feel that pain a lot longer and a lot more deeply and identifies with suffering people a lot more deeply. So her comment must be taken in this context. And she said to me, if we're in the midst of war, if people, by being in the midst of war, you know, Syria's in the midst of war, and you're killing each other with bombs, you're killing each other with guns and knives, you're killing each other, blowing people up, and however you can kill them, and casualties put it probably over 100,000 in the civil war in Syria. Why is it now that chemical weapons makes it so much worse? Now her perspective is stop the killing, period. You know what I'm saying? She is not callous about that. That's why I couch things the way I do. That's why I couch things in terms of her compassion. But please tell me why, if you've killed thousands and thousands and thousands of people through other means, that suddenly using chemical weapons is, this is a line that has been crossed. I'm not minimizing the atrocity in any way. I'm simply asking a question. Where do we get these rules of war anyway? One of my colleagues and friends on my Facebook page, Stuart Dowerman, answered my question about, is it a line crossed, saying it is a line crossed chiefly because Mr. Obama said that was so. If he does not act, it only further demonstrates that the United States is a paper tiger. This further emboldens the forces of Islamic fascism. What is needed is a draconian onslaught, which is the only thing such militants understand. So here's the point, that since Mr. Obama has said that if chemical weapons are used, then a line has been crossed and we must take action. If that's the case, now that it has been done, and if we can determine who did it, then if we don't take action, it just seems like we're spouting empty words. And Stuart says a draconian onslaught, that means real display of power. It's the only thing such militants understand. So because they have taken so many lives in such a horrific way, they are going to pay for it. On the other hand, on the flip side, we still don't know for sure what's going on. I'm looking at a report from Washington Times. Testimony from victims strongly suggests that it was the rebels, not the Syrian government, that used sarin nerve gas during a recent incident in the Revolution Rack Nation, a senior UN diplomat said Monday. Look, we need to recognize, and then one other question. Here, we've got our team weighing in here. Joey, the old idea that America is the police of the world, it's helped on the one hand. On the other hand, it's run up a lot of debt. On the other hand, is it our role? Well, if we didn't get involved in World War II the way we do, the world would look terribly different. America has been a great help to the world in certain ways, but what gives us the right to be the police? But on the other hand, what gives the right to Russia to be arming Syria? You say, it sounds confusing. It is. We really need to pray. We need to pray for divine wisdom. And here's the bigger issue. I do not see a simple end in sight other than one power becoming substantially more powerful than the other power. In other words, within Syria, that either the government or those fighting against the government, and either way, you don't have good guys involved. The only thing with Bashar Assad, who's been known to walk in the footsteps of his father, Hafez Assad, who was also terribly murderous towards his own people, Hafez Assad was. So the only thing we do know is just like Saddam Hussein was a buffer for the Christian population in his country, the same with Bashar Assad. However, you're still dealing with two evils, two bad powers, one leading the government, one fighting against the government. The only way that there's really going to be an end to the civil war is if the government decisively crushes those fighting against them or those fighting against the government take over. And either way, you've got the Muslim world divided over this because it's also a conflict between Sunni Muslims and Shia Muslims. 866-348-7884. Let's just get a little more feedback from some of our own electric representatives. Let's go, Joey, to clips number 4 and 5. This is Representative Peter King saying to CNN News that we have to act in video. He's speaking to Jessica Yellen.
I believe the president has to take action, not just because of Syria, but because of really the entire region. I mean, Iran is going to be looking at how we respond as they go forward with their nuclear weapon program. Allies in the region, adversaries in the region are going to look. So we have to take action.
All right. And he's got more to say about this. We have to take action. And he recognizes it's a convoluted situation, but still feels that we have to act.
I am still not a big advocate for the rebels because I believe that in the last year or so, they've become largely controlled or significantly controlled by Al-Qaeda elements. If the president had taken action 2 years ago, we'd be a lot better off.
Yeah, so that's the other thing. If we fight against the Syrian government, if we fight against Bashar al-Assad, if in fact the Syrian government was guilty of using chemical weapons, and our president has said, well, that's a line. If you cross that, we're going to take action. And we attack him. Then aren't we helping those who are called the rebels who are being helped, trained, funded by Al-Qaeda? So here's the problem. You got two of our enemies there. You have Iran, which is a real enemy of America and an enemy of Israel, and they are backing the government. You'll have Al-Qaeda, who is a real enemy of America and a real enemy of Israel, that is backing the rebels, as they have been fashioned and called. Here's the other thing to understand. Whoever wins, either side hates Israel. Do you understand? It's not like, oh, if the rebels win the civil war and take over the government, they will immediately enter into a peace treaty with Israel. Oh, no, they'd want to see Israel destroyed. And the Syrian government, oh, you know, if they can put down the civil war, then they'll recognize Israel as a friend and an ally. No, 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 no. Either way, you've got enemies of Israel and enemies of America. So I still say it's wisest and best for us not to get involved, at least not at this point, although it becomes a problem when our president makes a threat and doesn't back it. So we need to continue to pray for the wisdom and intervention of God. I've got some more audio clips to play for you. Some surprisingly, misguided comments by Senator John McCain. And I want to take your calls and then share some of the perspective we've been getting online.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, I do appreciate this perspective. One of our friends just weighed in. The reason why chemical weapons are the worst is because the pain is so much more painful. In the Army, we learned about what nerve gas does to the human body. If you get shot or blown up, you're dead. But with chemical weapons, you linger on. The pain is excruciating. I understand that the horror is more horrible. I understand that the numbers of people that can be taken out with weapons of mass destruction is much more staggering, devastating. It's still that question of tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people are dying. Where do we come up with these rules of war? That's the point. 866-348-7884 on this Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, focusing in on the situation in Syria. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton faced the nation March 27th, 2011, said this: there's a different leader in Syria now. Many of the members of Congress of both parties who've gone to Syria in recent months have said they believe he's a reformer. She clarified 2 days later, I referenced opinions of others that was not speaking either for myself or the administration. All right. Well, I think you want to modify those comments there. But listen to what Senator John McCain had to say. He is on Fox and Friends. I want to play a couple of clips from him.
What these strikes should be about is to help the resistance change the momentum, which is now not in their favor because of Hezbollah's thousands of troops there and Iranian weapons and Russian weapons, and our failure to supply the resistance with the weapons that they need. And so therefore you have a situation where we are basically saying that you can stay in power.
All right, so again, he looks at what he refers to as the resistance much more positively than I would. Again, I look at it as bad fighting bad. That's how I understand it. He then says this.
I know of no ties that General Idris has to the Muslim Brotherhood. I know that there is some Islamic influence, maybe. These people are Islamists. But to call them al-Nusra or al-Qaeda affiliated, they are not. Look, I met these people. I went into Syria. I know General Idris. He's not a radical, nor are the people that work for him.
All right. Look. John McCain has infinitely more military and international experience than I do. And he went in and spoke with people face to face. However, I would say that if you speak to almost any leader face to face and they present themselves a certain way, they can win your confidence and deceive you. I'll just read this quote from Senator McCain. With all respect to his service for our country, these many, many years. And I'm not saying categorically that we can't attack Syria at any point. I still do not see that it is right to do it now or wise to do it now or that it's another conflict that we can even involve ourselves in while we're still involved in Iraq and Afghanistan. But Senator McCain said this: get the right weapons to the right people, and we can turn this around, and it's not that difficult. This is an interview on CNBC, and this is just from yesterday. He said, these are good people. I was in Syria with him, and to say that we can't get the right weapons to the right people, frankly, is a cop-out. Boy, I really deeply question that. I really deeply question the accuracy of that statement. Oh, yeah, you have people that are just fighting against a dictatorial government. Yes, you have people who are seeking freedom from tyranny. But you also have radical Islam fighting radical Islam. And there's a reason that these people that Senator McCain characterizes as good people that he's met with are being helped by Al-Qaeda. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to the phones. Bill in Phoenix, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thanks for taking my call, Dr. Brown. I wanted to zero in on the last word in the Old Testament, since this is Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, and apply it to the subject matter. Is it your understanding as a language expert that Karam, however you pronounce it, is the aspect of utter destruction, meaning like mutual destruction? Now, I don't have a problem with people participating in trying to stall off the inevitable, which is a curse, meaning to the earth would be the concept of mutual destruction, and therefore, as far as weapons of mass destruction, the world's zeroing in on weapons that actually, like in the case of gases, would destroy both front lines, and it's like suicide bombing.
Yeah, the word haram, what you're referring to, the verb haram, and then the noun haram and the verb haram, it has nothing to do with mutual destruction. The concept of mutual would have nothing to do with it, but utter destruction, putting something under the ban, putting something under the decree of destruction. So many translators would translate it with utter destruction. So when the children of Israel, Bill, would go in, say, to conquer the Canaanites, they were told to put cities under the harem, under the ban, and that meant totally wipe them out, total destruction. So what you're referring to is the end of Malachi, which in our order of books that we have in most of our English Bibles is the last book of the Old Testament. It says this, speaking of the prophet Elijah, he shall reconcile parents with children. Talking about God turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of children to the fathers, lest I come, God says, and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. So all that to say that utter destruction is ultimately threatened by God. Do I see that tying in with the use of chemical warfare in Syria? No, but I understand the larger issue raising. Friends, it's really important to have relationship with God by his spirit, that we understand his voice, that we understand how he leads us by his word and the decisions that we make and the lives that we live, the ministries we engage in. I have a teaching series on how to be led by the spirit. Normally it's a $20 CD, 12 hours of teaching plus postage, but you can download the entire series for just $10 on my website. So just go to AskDrBrown.org, you'll see the slide for the special resource offer come up on your screen. Just click on that, and for just $10, you can download 12 hours of teaching, listen to on your computer, your MP3 player. You'll find it really practical and rich in Scripture. So just go to my website now, AskDrBrown.org. It's AskDrBrown.org, and you'll see right on the homepage, first or second slide that'll come up will be our special resource offer. Click on that. Go ahead and download. Share it with your friends. Tell more folks about it.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, you could be right in the midst of a great discussion about our involvement in Syria. Should we be involved? Should we not be involved? What about the use of chemical weapons? Does that cross a certain line? You can go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown. Excuse me. Don't go to the website now. Go to the website later. Go to my Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown on Facebook, which I'm looking at right now, and weigh in. Get involved in the conversation. Do it by way of Twitter, too. That's Dr. Michael L. Brown, all one word, Dr. Michael L. Brown on Twitter. Follow me there. And to answer these two questions, one, should Syria get involved militarily? Should America? I've been asking this enough for an hour and a half now. Should America get involved militarily in Syria? And two, should the use of chemical weapons by either side influence our decision? In other words, is it crossing the line to use chemical weapons? I'm looking at comments by now Secretary of State Kerry. He stopped short of explicitly blaming the Syrian government for the gas attack, but strongly implied that no one else could have been behind it, and said the United States had additional information it would provide in the days ahead. Quote, our sense of basic humanity is offended not only by this cowardly crime, but also by the cynical attempt to cover it up. Well, here's another story. This is from Reuters in Berlin. Syrian President Bashar al-Assad would not be so stupid, quote, so stupid, as to use chemical weapons close to Damascus, the leader of the country's largest Kurdish group said. Saleh Muslim, head of the Kurdish Democratic Union Party, said he doubted the Syrian president would resort to using such weapons when he felt he had the upper hand in the country's civil war. Quote, the regime in Syria has chemical weapons, but they wouldn't use them around Damascus, 5 kilometers from the UN committee, which is investigating chemical weapons. Of course, they're not so stupid as to do so. Ah, that's another factor. If they have the upper hand in the civil war, if you have a UN committee investigating the use of chemical weapons or the access to chemical weapons, and here you're about 3 miles. Why would you use chemical weapons about 3 miles away? So others are skeptical. Aaron Klein reports this. He's WorldNet Daily's Jerusalem bureau chief, and he hosts Aaron Klein Investigative Radio on New York's WABC radio. He says there is specific intelligence indicating that aside from possible retaliation against Israel, the Kingdom of Jordan could also be attacked with Syrian missiles in a Western military campaign targeting Bashar al-Assad's regime, according to informed Middle Eastern security officials speaking to WorldNet Daily. The intelligence has now led to the Jordanian army being placed on its highest alert. The officials added that Saudi Arabia began moving tanks towards its border with Jordan while the U.S. and NATO are preparing their Jordanian army for various contingencies. The official further hinted Turkey and Jordan could also be targeted, and on it goes. So I want to get your perspectives as I'm looking at some Facebook comments. Nancy, not my bride of 37 years, Nancy, but another Nancy. Why does America always have to get involved? They keep wars going instead of stopping them. Earl responds, money, honey. Money and an opportunity to practice tyranny on the weak before you bring it home to your own. Well, I don't know how many would agree with that statement, but I'm asking people to weigh in. James, I personally find it odd how people kill other people is the issue, not the actual killing of them. In other words, is chemical weapons, you kill people one way, is that worse than killing them another way? If the news reports are to be believed, the Syrian government forces have been killing the innocent for a long time. Why does using chemical weapons all of a sudden overstep some mark? It's like saying murder is tolerated, but if you do it with a knife, then you've gone too far. I may be missing something. I haven't seen a lot of people saying we should get involved. Most seem to be saying don't do it. All right, I'll get your calls when we come back. Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for focusing with us on Israel, the Middle East, on this Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. We are focusing in particular on the conflict in Syria. 866-34-TRUTH. We were told that military action could be coming today. It hasn't come yet. Others saying, well, within 24 hours, if we're going to do something. There is international conflict over this. It just indicates how volatile the Middle East is and how it affects the entire world. 866-348-7884. I'm about to get your perspective on your feelings as to whether we should get involved or not. But I've got a true or false question for you first, all right? And this is, we're just going to ask this internally, all right? So, Matt, are you listening? Joey? Dwight? We'll just put it out here. Randy, listening? Let's get a response. True or false? Allah did not create... Now, I'm going to give you the quote and then say true or false as to who said it. Allah did not create man so that he could have fun. The aim of creation was for mankind to be put to the test through hardship and prayer. An Islamic regime must be serious in every field. There are no jokes in Islam. There is no humor in Islam. There is no fun in Islam. There can be no fun and joy in whatever is serious. Is it true that Ayatollah Khomeini, the leader of the modern Islamic revolution dating back to the late 1970s that continues to affect so much of the world and really affects the Middle East, Syria, this conflict right to this moment, the late Ayatollah Khomeini, did he actually say those words or are those completely exaggerated words put on his lips? Matt, true or false? Khomeini, true. Matt says true. Joey, true. Dwight, what's your take? True or false? True. All right, I'm sure we'll hear from Randy in a moment. Yes, true. True. I just was looking on the Jihad Watch website, jihadwatch.org, to see what they had to say about Syria, and noticed that Muslim clerics in India have issued a fatwa, so an Islamic decree, against cartoons. Not just cartoons of Muhammad, all cartoons, that because they show a mockery of what is Allah's creation, human beings. Now, obviously, not all Muslims around the world believe that, but just to share that with you. 866-348-7884. Kathleen says, no, we should not get involved in Syria. If we won't stop a North Korea or an Iran from developing nuclear weapons, then we have no right to enter Syria. We should aid Israel. Jane, I don't think America should get involved, but you will because Obama's in charge and he wants to try to look good and nothing more. I don't think chemical weapons should be used on either side. That is crossing the line on every level. Marty, we should not get involved. Let the Muslims kill each other off. The most compassionate answer, but I ask for input. Joel, I don't know if we should or shouldn't. What do you have to say? Let's start with Michael in Hereford, Texas. What's your take on Syria, sir?
I don't know what we're going to accomplish if we strike without knowing who used the chemical weapons. Are we the policeman of the world or the big kid on the block? Do we slap all little hands on the playground with our ruler, all factions involved? What do we hope to accomplish?
All right, Michael, great questions, great points. If we knew for a fact that it was the government of Syria that used the chemical weapons, should we then get involved?
If we're not going to put boots on the ground, we're not going to secure those weapons that can be used against us here in the United States.
Got it. All right, Michael, I appreciate your perspective. One last question for you. How do you feel about... Well, let's go back. When we launched our campaigns against Afghanistan, we went to war against Afghanistan and against Iraq. How did you feel about those wars?
I was in favor of those actions in both places.
All right. And the reason you would see that is different than Syria, not arguing with you at all, but just wanted to get your perspective. You'd see it as different with Syria because?
I felt we had a clearer threat that we could go for in those instances.
Got it. Very, very clear, Michael. I appreciate you weighing in. 866-348-7884. Skip in Ames, Iowa. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I love your show.
Thank you.
I was just calling in. I do believe that the use of chemical weapons is crossing the line. You had mentioned like the Civil War and some of the battles we'd had in the past. Those were fought by men who volunteered. As a veteran, when I left, I knew my family was safe here at home. When you cross the line into chemical warfare, nuclear warfare, you're targeting an innocent population, women, children, and I don't believe we should be tolerating that.
And Skip, where did you serve?
I was in the United States Navy on the USS Nimitz, worked on the flight deck.
All right. So when we send in our warships, what are we capable of doing these days if we're off the coast of Syria? What could we potentially do?
We could, one of our bombers, you know, with strategic hits, one bomber could black out a city the size of New York.
Hmm. All right, so if chemical weapons were used because of the larger nature of the conflict, that it goes beyond soldiers fighting soldiers or a civil war where people are engaging in combat, the chemical weapons are rained down indiscriminately. They're going to affect men, women, children that are not involved in the conflict. If the government had been guilty of doing this, it could be determined that they did it and perhaps killed 1,300 a day, and God knows how many are going to have long-term suffering related to this. What kind of action should we take?
I think we should take maybe some strategic action. I don't think we should be trying to police the world by ourselves. I think that we fund most of the United Nations endeavors, and I think that we should demand our allies actually step up to the plate, and we could do things in a more unified way than we do.
Got it.
We take on more than we can, you know, handle financially, and
right,
we
there,
shouldn't be trying to police the world.
Right. I mean, there is that moral sense of wanting to fight against suffering and wanting to help the innocent. But again, we are not the world's police nation, and we have to remember that you've got, in many ways, evil against evil in Syria. Skip, thanks for weighing in with your comments, and thanks for your service in the past. 866-34-TRUTH. The Knesset Foreign Affairs and Defense Committee Chairman Avigdor Lieberman said on Tuesday that the U.S. response to Syrian President Assad's use of chemical weapons last week, if in fact he's guilty of it, is a test of U.S. President Obama's credibility. Speaking in a radio interview in Israel, Lieberman said the region and the international community see the Syrian situation as a test for America's foreign policy and security stance. The U.S. upholding its, quote, red lines on the use of chemical weapons by Assad tests both the personal credibility of Obama and the entire U.S. government. In other words, because our president had said, this is a line, if you cross this, we're definitely getting involved. Now it's been crossed. Well, should we have said that? It's like you threaten, you say something, and then you realize, oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Or was it a right thing to say? I'm not attacking Mr. Obama today. It's a very difficult situation. I say, without question, circumspection is better. Waiting, considering the options, making it clear that we have the power to inflict damage should we choose to, if now civilians, women, children out of the conflict are being attacked and killed by chemical weapons. We have the power to do something. Send a message to Iran as well. Don't you dare think about developing nuclear weapons. We will stop you before you do. We will go in with Israel to take them out. Yeah, a message can be sent. However, I want to say once again that I do not believe we have any clear line for action right now. My personal opinion. Let me grab one more call. Brian in Durham, New Jersey. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Are you there, Brian?
Yes, I'm here. How you doing, Dr. Brown?
Good. Go ahead, sir. You're on the air.
Yes, I was just wanted to know if you and some of the listeners out there were aware that the rebels that they portray on the news are actually Al-Qaeda in Syria.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, we've been talking about the fact that basically you've got Iran propping up the government of Syria and fighting on behalf of Syria. You've got Al-Qaeda propping up, helping out what's called the rebel side, and with backing from Saudi Arabia in some cases. It's a convoluted mess, Brian. And yes, it is true. And I said Durham, New Jersey. Durham, North Carolina. I was wondering about Durham, New Jersey. No problem, Dwight. Everyone can have a typo there. But yeah, it's been said if we go in and bomb the government of Syria that we're actually helping Al-Qaeda. That's why right now I say stay out. Brian, thank you for the call.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on Thoroughly Jewish Thursday here on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. I am delighted to be with you. We have been focusing for 2 hours on Syria. We've heard from friends and colleagues in Israel. We've played a variety of audio clips from different political leaders, and I continue to say, move slowly, be very, very cautious. Look, in the past, we have helped a group rise to power that ends up becoming our worst enemy. So we need to proceed with real caution. 866-34-TRUTH. By the way, in the States, a couple of major things took place during the radio show. I'll talk about them tomorrow, but I've been so focused on Syria, I haven't wanted to focus on that. But the IRS has announced that they will recognize all legal, quote, same-sex marriages and tax filings. So based on the recent Supreme Court decision, they're going to do this now across the country. And the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in California said that they're upholding the ban on gay therapy. So for minors, if a minor, 17-year-old, says, hey, I'm struggling with same-sex attraction, I'd like counseling, try to get to the root of why I feel like this and help to overcome these attractions. California and New Jersey have banned that. Absolutely outrageous. Outrageous. Nothing less than outrageous. And the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, which is famous for wild decisions, has thus far said, well, we uphold the ban because the legislature has said that it's harmful. Well, they said it's harmful based on gay activist propaganda. That being said, we'll talk about that more tomorrow. Back to Syria and the Middle East, 866-348-7884. Let's go to Rachel in San Diego. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thank you for taking my call. Just a quick statement and then my question. I think it's a little precarious to draw a line in the sand and then start backing up. I'll just leave it at that. But in the light of this whole
just to say this, you're absolutely right. You're 100% right. The question is, if you unwisely drew a line in the sand... Yeah, but you're absolutely right. You do it, you have to back your words, but then that becomes even worse. So that's a problem. Yeah, go ahead.
In the light of the whole Syria situation, this same scripture has been on my heart, Malachi 4:6. And so my question to you is, who do you say turn the hearts of the fathers and the children so that the smiting of the earth with a curse could be avoided?
Well, in the first context, it's talking to Israel, but it becomes a very broad context there in Malachi, the fourth chapter. See, I'll send the prophet Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. So he's speaking to Israel because he just says to them, remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and laws I gave him at Horeb for all Israel. He'll turn the hearts of the parents to their children, the hearts of their children to their parents, or else I'll come and strike the land with total destruction. So in context, it's talking about Israel, and it's talking about a move of repentance and hearts being changed of fathers and sons and families And obviously with that, a turning to God, and God saying, if you don't do that, I'll come and smite the land with a curse, with total destruction. How that works itself out today is a good question. We can all apply it spiritually in terms of the importance of the hearts of the fathers being turned to children and children to fathers. Absolutely. But as far as how that plays out in the end, it's really specifically an Israel prophecy, and it speaks of smiting the earth. Does it mean the earth, the whole world, or does it mean smiting the land of Israel, which many would say means the whole land of Israel, with utter destruction? But Rachel, let me just say this. So I can't give a definitive answer in terms of how that's going to play out, but I just want to say this. As we look at the Middle East now, we see how easy it is for conflict in the Middle East to draw in the entire world. We saw it with the coalition against Saddam Hussein back in the 90s. We see it now. It lends further credence to passages like Zechariah 12 and 14, which speak about all nations coming against Jerusalem at the end of the age. We can see how that can happen. Rachel, thanks for calling. Lynn in Terre Haute, Indiana. We're a little short on time, but please weigh in.
Hi, this is Lynn. Shalom, Dr. Brown.
Shalom.
I was a little concerned about chemicals that Syria's releasing, and what maybe Israel and, what could they do about it? What could, that was my concern about the chemicals.
Well, right now, I spoke in the last 2 hours with two of our colleagues, grads from different ministry schools over a period of decades, living in Israel with their families now. They've gotten their safe rooms secure. They've got their gas masks on. The biggest concern was that there was a shortage of gas masks in Israel. But otherwise, they've been through this before. And what they're basically prepared for is this. If there was an attack, and to kind of requote what my friends in Israel said, they are ready in terms of being in their safe rooms, having their gas masks. And if there was an attack, then Israel would immediately retaliate to make sure there was not a second attack. Israel has the power to do this. If Israel's threatened a certain level, if the wrong button is pushed, it could get a severe reaction. But the last national alert I saw was code orange. So on a high level of alert, not total absolute shutdown by any means, people are going about their normal business. But yes, everyone's been told, get your safe rooms ready, have your masks ready because of a potential chemical weapons attack coming our way. And beyond that, life is going on. Normally, people have been through this before in Israel. They live with these kind of pressures. And if you go and travel Israel and tour Israel, you realize, wow, it's safer there than walking the streets of many of our big cities in America. But they are on high alert, Lynn. And some feel that if America does attack, that it's going to make things worse because it's going to provoke an attack against Israel. So we really need to be praying. That's my word again. We need to be praying for wisdom for all involved and for God's hand to restrain unnecessary action and for continued mercy that people would turn to him and be protected from the destruction taking place. But in the end of the world, the whole conflict's going to come down to a small piece of territory right in the Middle East, a little bit south of Syria, called Jerusalem. All right, friends, I do want to encourage you, if you believe in the work we're doing, to stand with us and become a torchbearer. I don't often mention torchbearers on the air. Here and there I'll mention it, but all of our torchbearers, you undergird the work we do. The work I do, the work our team does, you undergird it. 24/7, you are our support base. We are indebted to you. Why not become a torchbearer? Your gift of at least $25 or more per month. We'll send you a new audio message every month, something I've recently preached or a classic message we brought. We will give you free access to our online classes, 15% discount on our online bookstore. You get a prayer update message from me, letter every month as well. Call 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978 or go to askdrbrown.org, click donate to become a torchbearer. My bottom line today, what's happening in Syria reminds us in very stark terms that at the end of the world, there will be a world conflict centered in on one city, and it's called Jerusalem.